the summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go?
Hello, welcome into episode 105 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and sometimes Quattro, and today I've got a blether with hashtag toast, what's a crack, swap, caltastic section, me, runny, Caithness section, and a shoppy section. I sponsor this from my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. All links are with the show notes, so please get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blether.
The blether. Hashtag toast. Most of us now know what the hashtag is. If you don't, it's the wee symbol on your keypad that is used for when talking about number one, hashtag number two, and it has parallel lines one way on a slant, and crossing it are two shorter parallel lines. Parallel, it's not easy to say. Parallel. So, hey Galileo. It is also used in music to denote a key which is in sharp. Sort of. It's a little bit squinty. But then one day on Twitter, it got hijacked to cross-reference things. You could then follow a hashtag conversation if you were all talking about the same thing. For instance, hashtag knitchat, hashtag gogglebox, hashtag Olympic Games, or hashtag someone died and you want them to rest in peace kind of thing. And when you write them down, you don't use space in between your words. Also, if you wanted to attract followers or find other followers with similar interests to you, then you could do hashtag knitting or hashtag notes and find other hashtag knitting or hashtag notes tweets. Then it kind of got a bit hijacked by humorous people using them to finish a sentence, such as in, oh darn news, my new tent he ordered has arrived. Darn, that means one thing, camping. Hashtag, I prefer hoteling. And if you follow me on Twitter, you'll know I do this quite a lot. I'm not saying I'm humorous. It's way more funnier people than me. It can be funny when you have to watch the spelling of things, when words are strung together without the spaces. Susan Boyle's publicist probably got sacked for Susan's album party. McDonald's, Waitrose and Qantas all got the truth told when they tried a hashtag campaign. So, tell us why we are brilliant campaigns. And people thought that poor Shar was dead when hashtag now Thatcher is dead, oh Maggie kicked the bucket time. But if you read that a different way, poor Shar, and she's still not dead, and hopefully not for a long time, but you have to watch how you read these things. And it can be used for good. Hashtag save our girls, hashtag Stephen's story to name a couple. And the charities all use them. It's a shortened way of getting a marketing story across. Whilst they can be both very sad and important situations, I'm talking about the campaign being brought to the headlines and the consciousness of those in social media and marketing to do it to do for good. I hope we do bring the girls home, and Stephen was an inspiration and may he rest in peace. Hashtags can also be used for bad. For instance, it was introduced onto Facebook to have the same sort of connection tool that Twitter uses. However, some people can't stand it on Facebook. Some people can't stand Facebook, and some people can't stand Twitter. Now, I like both of them, for both for their different uses. Twitter to have random conversations with listeners. Facebook to have longer conversations with pictures. And while I mostly use it for photos to interact with my family who don't live close by, and on the Caithness Craft Facebook page, I count you as my crafty family. I have a personal one, which I use on Facebook for family, so don't take offence if I don't accept your friend request on there. Just go over to the Caithness Craft one and we can blather all the time. Well, some of the Facebook onlys took exception to those putting hashtags onto it. And I was one of the people putting hashtags onto it. I took quite a bit of abuse from some of my friends and ones I know quite well. In the end, I told them to either put up with it or unfriend me. Social media is just that. It's just on the computer. I put up photos or messages of what I've been doing so others can see or laugh or chat back. I don't abuse others, and if I'm having a rant, I tend to say, I'm having a rant. We all have bad days. I didn't actually get unfriended, but I've laid out my line in the sand. If I see you on the street, I will have a chat, and hey, I might refer to your photos or comments, but Then it gives us some reference to what to talk about. It's great for friends that you don't see very often. You don't lose touch as easily. And that's what social is all about. Not for picking on someone because they have a musical sharp instruction up on their page. And how does this refer to craft, you may wonder? Hello, tenuous link here. Well, you know, I had to elbow in somewhere. Well, I expect that most of you, not all of you, but most of you will have learnt to knit with acrylic yarn. Oh, can you remember it all squeaked as it went across and it was unforgiving and you think, I hate this, but no. Most of you will have migrated to yarns of various planes and fibres of silk or kiviet and bamboo. And some of you would never ever go back to the acrylic. Some of you were knitting before fun fur became popular back in, say, 2005-ish, and then saw this acrylic yarn as a monstrosity, such as hashtag. But this yarn spread the knitting world like wildfire. And it got quite a lot of us knitting again. It was different. It was nice to feel, and it was warm enough, and it was fashionable-ish at the time. I still wear my blue one in the winter, as it not only keeps my neck warm and tickly, it makes me smile to think of me making it and learning to knit again, not having really knit since I was small until that point. Fashion and knitting has moved on quite considerably. Only I live in the back beyond and I don't do fashion. I'm as old fashioned as tea me. But fashion and knitting has moved on and now fun fur gets relegated back to being for soft toys or handbags. But imagine if I hadn't been captivated by this hashtag of fun fur. I wouldn't be knitting all the lovely things, some acrylic where it's appropriate, some of the silks and the cashmeres, and you certainly wouldn't be listening to me whittering on about it. Don't sneer at someone's yarn choice or social media choice. Don't rain on their parade of happiness as they have achieved something but using materials or terminology that you don't like. There is room for everything in crafting and social media. But you said it was hashtag toast. The toast, you like this, is because we were having a conversation with my niece, and she's 16, trying out words like and awesome and tots amaze. And I think we'd not long been to see the Lego movie and they sing everything is awesome and everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when you live in the dream. Now I'm doing the Lego dance. This is where you kind of wiggle your legs like you've got Lego legs and you put your hands out and have Lego hands. So you pretend you're holding a cup. You did your doing your name with your butt last week, which I did, and it's quite cool. Although it's still very funny and I really expect you all to be doing it. I only heard people laughing about it and actually saying it, hear anybody saying they did it. Yes, you are all doing it now, that's good. Right, back to my niece. Oh, everything is awesome. I often wonder what Susan Dolph would say about the overuse of awesome. But my niece, who's 16, she looked at me and said, Auntie Louise, who actually speaks like that? And I laughed and I said, well, you youth, you young things. And she looked and she went, not really, no. She does say like quite a lot, but I find myself doing that now infuriatingly. And I was explaining this to my friend via text about totes amaze. My iPhone auto-corrected it from totes, meaning totally, to toast. And then it went toast, yes. I'll have some toast, please. So the moral of my story is, I think, keep up with the good social media and eat toast. That's what all the young things are doing. If you need a pee, stop, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy kickle.
Hello,
section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now and been with me forever, listeners. I really appreciate you tuning in and taking the time out of your day to listen to me. A Sandy hello to new group members, Knitting Nancy 24, the wonderful Turbo Gal. I hear her mentioned quite a lot on various podcasts, so hello, Turbo Gal. Kay Gridley, Archio, Strid 8, Spinny Gonzalez, Relic, and Kelly McNitz. And Kelly McNitz is Charmin Lochie of the sadly now not going on any longer, Charming Lochy video podcast, who hopefully I shall be seeing on Saturday. Anyway, random hellos to Elaine, who loves knots. She is ace. Isabel Campbell, who lives along the road from Richard's mum. Hello, Isabel. We've got Kath Wood, Florida Kelly, Daria's mum, and Tooth Fairy, who I'm also hoping to meet on Saturday. What's a crack? I'm going to bring you back to the podcast buddies. We've only had 2 sign-ups. Yes, not very good. Come on. Sandra Da, or her name's actually Sandra, she wondered if anyone, especially those living away from others, would like a Keith Nisscraft collective email pen pal. If they wanted to talk craft only, or happy to discuss current affairs, or mentor a beginner, you might want an email aunt to help them with your knitting projects. So if you would like to have a wee email pen pal, or a snail mail pen pal, please sign up in the thread in the group.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up. I just mentioned the Highland Wool Festival is in Dingwall on the 24th of May, and I am planning on going. I will be going for a nose and a meet up with Louise Scully of the Knit British podcast, Sheila of the Black Hills Craft podcast, and the Yarn Garden's going to be there too. Woohoo. And Tooth Fairy, so hopefully I'll get a blether with them, and I might have to take the bairns. Then in July there is Unwind Brighton on the 12th and 13th. I'm going on the 12th, which is a Saturday, and the podcaster meetup is at 1 o'clock above the cafe in the mezzanine area. And this is in the Brighton Corn Exchange. And listeners, this means that you can meet us. This is not just the podcasters meeting each other. So there are some knit-alongs happening too just now, and I stole this from the Playful Day group. And it says, to join the Cal, which is a knit-along, just cast on whatever you like and tag your project Unwind Cal. See, there you go. Hashtag and tagging. It's how we all find each other. The online knit-along will end on the 30th of June. There will be a prize for each pattern. There will be also an extra competition if you wear your knit-along project event to along to the event in July. Hopefully along. Well, for that reason you wouldn't want to be too hot, but another really wanted to be hot because I associate now Brighton with heat. You don't have to be coming to Unwind to take part. In fact, there will even be a special category called Wish You Were Here for people who can't make it. So if you're not coming along, use the extra tag UCALWYWH. I thought that was quite nice, isn't it? That's encouraging people to knit along even if you're not coming. And so far, I've found 2 knit-alongs, which one is called Averin, A-V-E-R-I-N, and this is by Bristol Ivy, and it's a really, really bonny shawl. And the other is by Vera Valamaki, and it's called Juniper, and this is a lightweight summer jumper. So you have to get cracking on these to make them, and the other ones which are being released in the Unwind Brighton group over the next wee while. Hopefully you'll have enough time to finish them before the end of June. But I think the jumper and this shawl, just get cracking now. It's lovely.
Runny, he's the mummy.
Me, that's who. Runny. This is my last mention of this, I think. I said the last mention last time. I contradict myself all the time. It's my podcast. And I made it round the May 10K in 59 minutes and 20 seconds. Woohoo! So I did it under the hour. We had guests up staying with us, of Graham and his lovely wife and Bernie, and his sister Elaine, who is now a listener. Hi Elaine! She's not into the knitting, but she likes the rest of it and she loves knots. So hello Elaine, who sailed past me about 57 minutes. Yeah. And we also had Derek and his family up, and Derek is running 10 10k races this year in aid of cancer research, which I think is a tremendous achievement. They all beat me, and Richard did it in 42:57. Yeah. We had a great weekend, and then they had the show of Richard and I spelling out our names with our butts, as I said. I was delighted I did the race in under an hour, and I'm going to carry on doing more 10k races this year, just maybe a bit slower, but I need to work on the speed.
The review section.
Review section. Well, we... Isn't this about me, you know? We're fortunate for content of this podcast that I got a box of goodies from the very lovely Bobby of Illinois again. She's so kind. It's kind of embarrassing. Which included an obscene amount of Jelly Bellies and a book called Topsy Turvy Inside Out Knit Toys by Susan B. Anderson. And I thought this was appropriate because I'm going to meet Susan in September. And it would be nice to have made something that she's designed. It's published by Artisan and the back price is $17.95. That's of your US versions. And it's a hardback spiral bound book sized 9 by 7 inches with 130 pages in it. The projects are specifically two toys in one that you can turn each one inside out and ta-da! There's another in there. Such as you knit a doghouse and then you turn it inside out and there's a little doggy. Or you've got an egg and you turn it inside out and there's an alligator. And then the egg sort of tucks back into the alligator. There's 12 to choose from and they're aimed at all ages, from babies upwards, as the lamb and bunny is aimed at babies, but you at 98 might have a thing for pigs or penguins. Just because we get older, it doesn't mean that we stop liking things, or we grow to like things because of our experiences. Susan B. Anderson is quite a famous designer in the knitting world. I know that other people have talked about this book when it came out, but I've got it now, so I think it's about time some of my listeners heard. Susan B. Anderson's quite a famous designer in the knitting world. She wrote a book for Spud and Chloe at the Farm, for the Spud and Chloe line. And she's also got Itty Bitty Hats, Itty Bitty Nursery and Itty Bitty Toys books. Now, she's a mother and she gets lots of inspiration from her family. Also, try out her video cast, which she's been doing fairly recently. Back to the book. The photographs are by Liz Banfield and they're clear, well lit, and they're both pretty and practical too. There's the arty pretty shot of this is the finished toy with a bear, and then there's the close-up shots for the tutorials which range throughout the book of how to cast on a small number of stitches and working around, etc., moving through to how to embroider the eyes or how to do the duplicate stitch. And each tutorial has a close-up photo and written instruction. There is no how to knit basic section, which is fine for me, but maybe then this book's not quite aimed at the complete beginner. But I wouldn't be put off, because if you've never knit before and you are desperate to knit the happy mouse, sad mouse, with a wee help from your pal YouTube, then I think you might get by. There's projects in here from just started knitting to the more experienced Fair Islers. It would be a good challenge book for those on the beginner scale, but for those with a bit more under their belt, you would still find challenges, and again, you can fancy them up if you wish. See, adding extra stripes and textures to them, or, I don't know, anything. The font size on the book, possibly a little bit small, specifically on the tutorial instructions for my eyes, but it is black type on white background, so it is clear enough. I'm wondering if this book comes in different sizes and then maybe that would make a difference to the font size, because you know how they kind of make them go proportionally smaller sometimes. It's not enough to make me squint, but I have to pay attention. She suggested that you use up some lovely yarn such as Quince & Company, Blue Sky Alpaca, Brooklyn Tweed, Rowan and Tunney Wool Company, but she also mentions that she stated the weight of yarn used in each project so you can go and substitute your own stash. This is great for stash busting. And I was actually thinking as I flipped up, I've got some peach wool that I could use for the dolly's face. Now you can use whatever colour of skin type that your wee dolly happens to be too. Blue for the ones that find that felt tip pain. She has them in the style of her and her sister, which was one with blonde hair and one with brunette. Daisy has requested most of them, all these toys, but she specifically likes the dollies. One has to have plaits and they both have to have yellow hair. Tempted to make one of them with blue skin. Because Daisy has found that plain. But so has Sandy. He's requested the alligator. All of the toys seem quite straightforward to me when I've read back through the patterns. And all toys, really, they're just small bits put together in a clever way. So you're not really forever knitting stockinette. You're never far off doing something different, like decreasing a line or changing to an ear or a toe. So these are great if you like small, interesting pieces that won't dull your brain the way that stocking stitch or a jumper can. However, in the same regard, you have to pay attention to get the ears the same size, etc. So whilst the book is a good size for your knit bag, you might not want to take this to knit night if you're in the middle of some serious instruction. Happy mouse, sad mouse. And that's the first pattern, by the way. So it's good point, bad point. I think the patterns can all quite easily be amended to your own twist. For instance, the alligator could be themed for Godzilla, or the egg to the penguin could be any kind of birdie. Plus, all of them don't have to be reversible. You could just put the penguin with filler, and then you've got a penguin. Don't bother with the egg. And then you've got extra bang for your buck, because then you've got extra patterns. I like the layout, the colours, the patterns, the instructions. And I especially like the spiral on the book. It means that it sits flat when you have it open. Although with a spiral, you do have to be careful that you're not going to pull the pages too sharply and they rip. But I think this is a book I shall be using quite soon. Thank you very much, Bobby. Yet again, you've outdone yourself. And she's also sent me a set of finishing needles, so I shall tell you about them when I've used them. And thought they were a good wee tip to pass on to you. Thank you very much.
The swap section.
Swap and Cal. We now have a knit along open for everyone to do something with their yarn that they've swapped, or if you'd like to join in with a 100 gram yarn knit. You don't have to have been in the swap to join this, and it's any pattern you wish, but the rule is there's only 100 gram of 4-ply sock or fingering weight yarn can be used, and you have to have a finished object photographed and linked to the finished object thread in my group by the end of June 2014. I have a project bag made by me as a prize, so sign up and get knitting. I'm knitting Sandy and Deezy's socks. Well, I'm actually just going to knit Sandy's socks for this knit along. And some of you have already finished, which is really cool. I am very slow. The next swap is, as suggested by PG Knitty Nurse, is a project bag swap. And this can be one that you have made or bought and should be for a smallish project. So no bigger than 11 by 11, you know, just to keep it fair. Also to include a note to explain and up to 3 items craft related. And I have decreed that sweeties are indeed included in craft, such as jelly, belly, sweeties, particularly like them. If you would like to be included in the next swap, please go to the Ravelry thread and sign up in there. I will have it open until the 31st of May 2014, and then I'll assign you with swappies, and you please post them by the 30th of June 2014. The Challenge Cal. I've joined in with Arlen of the Lost Geek podcast for the Challenge Cal, and this is where we all improve on our knitting skills. For instance, I've not tried toe-up socks, which is what I thought I could do for my challenge. And my guest spot, I think, is going to be in August, and I'll let you know more in due course. And if you'd like to challenge yourself to learn something new, go sign up in the Lost Geek Podcast's group. She has prizes.
The beaker section.
Me section. I've done hee-haw craft. I'm going to tell you that now. The first week was all about the running, and the second week I've got a chest cold thing going on which has floored me. You might still hear it in my voice. And I had weeded the garden, and I thought of wee Ernest the guinea pig who gets all the weeds in Katie Kitty G's garden in the Isle of Anglesey. How cool's that? You've got plenty of weeds here, Ernest. Come for your holidays. She's got a guinea pig who called Ernest and who likes weeds, after me mentioning about Ernest the past couple of episodes. I really do like hearing what other people are knitting, but you know what? I'm not actually keen on talking or hearing about my own knitting when I'm editing it back. But I'll make an effort to do some craft in the next fortnight for you to hear about, once I get rid of this cold.
The Caithness section.
Caithness segment. Scooby-Doo yourselves back in time. Doo-loo-loo, doo-loo-loo, doo-loo-loo. Actually, I was watching Scooby-Doo the other night, and it was an episode of Monsters Incorporated, or Machine, I don't know what it is, but it's the one with the parrot, and I really like it. It doesn't have the proper Scooby-Doo theme tune. However, it had Scooby-Doo was having a bit of a fever, and he had this dream about sidekicks of cartoon mystery people finding out, and one of them had Captain Caveman in it, so I'll not shout it, but I love Captain Caveman. Right, well, it's back to this. Previously on Caithness Facebook, we were talking about Earls. Not my name is Earl, but my name is Sinclair. Hashtag. Right, William Sinclair had shifted from being the Earl of the county to being the biggest landlord in the county. He still kept his name, but he was more the landlord now. And or a tax man, it's T-A-C-K-S-M-A-N rather than T-A-X. And I'm not sure, because I did try and look it up to see if this is what the definition from tax was. He took in the rent from the land he owned. He set up his house at a castle which was 3 miles to the north of Wick called Gurnigo. And this was built in about 1496 and its ruins are still there today. You can go in and around them for free, but do be careful as they're quite treacherous in places because they're on the top of a cliff and a gill of rock. And there's a great big hole as you go into one of them. I think they've fenced some of it off though. Now this William Sinclair got married to Mary, who was daughter of Sir William Keith of Inverugie, down near Peterhead. Now Keith was buying up land and he purchased the land to the west of Gurnigo Castle. And he lived in the Ackergill Tower there. Ackergill Tower is still it's still maintained and it's actually a fancy hotel now. You can rent it out and generally they fly in with their private jets. It's that fancy. So if you've got your private jet and you fancy coming to Caithness, go stay at Ackergill Tower. Me thinks that Keith had his eye on all of Sinclair's lands because one New Year's morning when Sinclair and some of his men were out hunting, they were returning past Ackergill Tower and they were close enough to get hit in the back of the neck by an arrow. Imagine that. His wife asked him what happened when he said that her father had sent home a New Year's gift for her and she might like to find it fixed in the back of his neck. What a nice father-in-law. Can you imagine the Christmas dinner? However, at this time, the government in Edinburgh decided to install a bit more of the law in the Highlands and they placed sheriffs in Dornoch and Wick. And then this William Sinclair then went off to fight in the Battle of Flodden in 1513. But they were beaten big time by the English. This is where Henry VIII's army beat James IV and James IV was killed in battle. And I think it was the last time that a monarch was killed in battle in Britain. I think, but I might be wrong. And then the 15-month-old James V was crowned and his mother Margaret looked after the country for a while. Back in Caithness, the earldom was handed on to John, William's son, who was not so good, not so wise, but was quite into getting his tenants to pay money instead of service for the rent, which was the feus system. And that's F-E-U-S. He was pals with William, Lord of Orkney, who was doing the same transition of feasing, F-E-U-S-I-N-G, and his relatives chucked him out of Orkney in 1528. John Sinclair, who's William's cousin, they got an army together and they had a battle at Summerdale in 1529 near Stainness, but Earl John Sinclair was killed in action. So next episode we'll go on to George, and he was pals with Mary, Queen of Scots. I know you're going to be excited to hear about that.
Shoppy section.
Shoppy section. Or, as my mother-in-law Lynn called it the other day, the begging section. If you feel like you would want to contribute to continued running of the podcast, because it actually does cost a bit of money to host this, get stuff back as well, that's the important bit, please go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithnesscraft. I've got a handbag for sale and it's got bonny round wooden handles and it's perfect for your purse and your Kindle and your keys. It's made from an old felted cardigan that I knitted and then felted and cut up. And it's 8 by 10 inches. There's rose details where the handles meet the bag and it's lined. Also, I've still got a wee lined notebook with a leather embossed thistle on the cover. This would do lovely for the journaling that everybody is doing. And the embroidered one cover. So, to someone who's lovely, 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 I was really delighted to send it to them. So go to www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft. Now, I'm in the middle of making another cover for an A5 sketchbook, and I'm using quite a lot of colourful threads. So please look for that in the next week, and I quite enjoy doing these ones, so hopefully we'll have a few more in. Blah, 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 section. Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me, because I know how it does take quite a bit of time to keep up with all the podcasts on your iPhone. Especially when you get an upgrade in your phone and you manage to delete them all. And I didn't just do it once, I did it 3 times. Yeah. My email is keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. I'm on Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest and Facebook and Instagram as keithnesscraft. And you can access the Flickr photos from LouiseG2010 or via the Podbean site as www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The photos there are down the right hand side. The music was from Mark Gunn's Wild Mountain Time, and you can go and buy this at www.musicalley.com. Thank you for listening, and hashtag keep on crafting.
Go together to Wild Mountain Time, all around. Will you go? I say go. Will you go? I see you go. Will you go?